Hello friends, welcome to WeSchool. I am Ajay Prabhu, a senior BFSI professional having over 30 years of corporate exposure and also having over 30 qualifications. Today we are going to start our discussion on a very important book, Management of Insurance Companies and Products. Now friends, this is a very, very special book. Why do you say very, very special book? Because it will be talking at a macro level from insurance company as a financial institution. It will be talking about how the products are designed. And if we have to go peep in this book, we'll find 10 chapters very systematically arranged, starting from Chapter 1, which is Introduction to Insurance Organizations. As you all know, insurance has evolved since the ancient times, and so are the insurance organizations. These are evolved, these have taken different forms based on the evolution of the insurance concepts, based on the improvisations of the insurance concepts, based on the change in the technology, based on the reforms brought in, based on the transformations because of the globalization of business, insurance organizations have taken different forms. As specifically in India, you will see lots of changes in insurance organization after independence, post 1990s, and in the 21st century. So we are going to understand different aspects of insurance organizations in Chapter 1. Now when we talk about insurance organization, they have grown like anything, so are the designations. We find refinement of different organization structures and designs being implemented, and based on that, we have different designations of insurance organizations. In this, we are having different hierarchy. Every individual, every key person of the insurance organization is very clear as to what role it has to play, what functions it has to do, which are aligned with the vision, mission, and goals of the insurance organization. Having said that, we have seen there are various changes, various transformations that have been brought into the insurance organization, and so are the strategies. One important strategy in the insurance organization that has been deployed in the recent years is outsourcing. And when we talk about outsourcing, there has been a segregation of the core functions and the non-core functions. So when we talk about the core functions, marketing, underwriting, claims processing, this generally come under the core functions of the insurance organization. And in order to support these core functions, there are various other support functions, which can be human resources, which can be information technology, which can be the legal services, and so on and so on. So we have been very clear now as to what should be the support function so that the insurance organization can focus on the core function, and that gives rise to a very important aspect as to which activities can be outsourced and which activities cannot be outsourced. But before we learn the outsourcing of non-core insurance functions in Chapter 6, we will be familiar with the different types of intermediaries. Because when we talk in terms of intermediaries, there can be two types of intermediaries. One intermediary in the form of those acquiring business for the insurance organization, like the agents, the corporate agents, the brokers who directly deal with the prospects and get the business for the insurance organization. At the same time, there can be those intermediaries who play a support role, which may not directly get involved into the business bringing functions. The best example can be the surveyors and loss assessors, the third party administrators. So this is all that we are going to understand very clearly as to what type of insurance organization intermediaries are, how do they interface between the insurance organization and the policyholders. Then we come to outsourcing of non-core functions. When we talk about outsourcing, the regulator, that is the IRDA, has clearly specified which activities can be outsourced, which cannot be outsourced. Like the important core activities like investments, funds management, product design, and various other activities specified by IRDA cannot be outsourced. And those activities which are in general routine and repetitive in nature are outsourced by insurance organization specifically for focusing on core activities, and on the other hand, improving efficiency and reducing cost per transaction. So this not only helps them to focus more, improve quality, improve efficiency, and they can actually put in all out efforts onto the core activities and see that the products that are designed are based on the perspectives of the prospects. And that brings us to chapter 7, what products are developed by insurance organization, what attributes are actually put into the product, what are the different steps of new product development, as well as what are the challenges faced by the product managers for developing new insurance products. Then we move on to operational excellence to maximize performance. So once this establishment of insurance organization is done with clear-cut guidelines on the core functions, the support functions, the intermediaries, the outsourcing, the product development, next is to have that mindset to bring in the best of all those involved with the insurance business by following the best practices, by using the key performance indicators, so that the employees, the stakeholders, everyone is aware as to what is the best thing that they can provide for improving the operational excellence and thus improve and maximize the performance of insurance organization. Everything done well, that's fine, but finally it needs to be accounted. So chapter 9 talks about insurance accounting. When we talk about insurance accounting, we will look into two main aspects. One is the GAAP, that is the generally accepted accounting principles, and secondly, we have the statutory accounting. When we talk about statutory accounting, these are based on the guidelines of the regulator as to what formats that has to be followed, what recording has to be done, what reporting has to be done. And when we talk in terms of the GAAP, these are the generally accepted accounting principles, concepts, conventions, postulates. These are globally acceptable concepts. So those specifically acceptable are implemented in the insurance organizations that will be studied in chapter 9. And finally, chapter 10 will be talking about the corporate governance. When we talk about corporate governance, the board of directors, the top managements, they are appointed by the shareholders, and they have a responsibility to actually do all the things that are expected as per the regulators' guidelines, as per the stakeholders' guidelines or instructions, whatever you can say. So this in turn puts a direct check onto whether the board, whether the top management is doing all those things responsibly, have transparency, and following all the norms that are put in by the regulator, by the legislation. So here when we talk about legislation and regulator, we are having two specific guidelines. One is by the Companies Act 2013, and second, we have IRDAI guidelines on corporate governance. So this brings out the completeness of this book, and we will be going into all these chapters one by one. To start with, we will start with chapter 1, which is Introduction to Insurance Organization. Introduction to Insurance Organization will help you to understand the various types of insurance organizations and analyze the behavioral implications of different organization designs. So we are going to understand what insurance organizations are, what are the different types, what are the organizational structures, what are the organizational designs, and specifically for a modern insurance organization and how it has evolved from the ancient times. What are we going to study in chapter one? Number one, with the introduction. Next, we see the evolution of insurance organizations, how it was done first, when a concept like insurance evolved, and how it got changed over a period of time, and what structures got actually developed for insurance organizations based on the structures, based on the needs of the people, what are the different types of insurance organizations evolved, how one type was overcome by another because of some better things involved in the next types. So this is all going to be very interesting for us in chapter one. Next, we will actually have a sort of peep into the world insurance industry, which includes India. This would be based on the IRDA report that we have considered for this book. And next, we move on to the origination of insurance organizations in India, how it evolved first in India, how it later got transformed, and finally we will see the main milestones, we will see the main changes that have happened in the insurance organization in India, and finally we will see into changing the concepts of insurance organization after independence. But that's not all, we also have various other transformations in insurance business happening after 1990s, primarily due to the globalization, liberalization, and the financial sector reforms that enabled foreign direct investments into insurance industry. So a new type of setup got into, new technology was brought into insurance organization, and the penetration and density of insurance started increasing. That is why we say the transformation of insurance business post-1990s, then that will bring us to the current, that is types of insurance organization in India as of March 2021. This is also based on the related IRDAI annual report. Then we see solvency margins for insurance companies. This is very important. We'll understand what exactly the solvency margin is and what are the norms that are actually implemented by insurance companies. And finally, we'll go into IRDA role in promoting and directing insurance companies. So we not only talk about insurance organization, finally we will see what IRDA does into promoting and directing. That will give us a complete picture of insurance organizations in chapter number one. So let's start with the introduction of chapter one. Friends, you know, insurance business requires pooling of resources. When we say pooling of resources, these are the savings of the prospects put into by paying premium for buying a policy. So what happens on one side, the policyholders pays the premium, and on the other side, insurance organization promises to cover the risk that is included in the policy, and in case there is any loss, will make good the loss up to the sum assured mentioned in the insurance policy. So insurance organization is a group of organized people having a particular purpose of mobilizing the savings and providing the insurance covers to the entities for protecting them against unforeseen circumstances. So when we talk about this insurance business, it has to be done very carefully, because there is a responsibility on the insurance organization to have sufficient funds not only to settle the claims of the policyholders, but also to grow and pay or take care of its administrative expenses. So insurance organizations require proper structure, which should be adopted as per the goals and the objectives and primarily the vision of the insurance organization. Insurance organization is a financial institution because it deals with money. It also enters into a proper legal contract with the policyholders to protect them against the specified risk leading to financial losses in return for consideration, which is the premium that is paid by the policyholders to the insurance organization. As I said before, insurance organizations pool the risk of a large number of people in order to manage their break-even. So because when all these people belonging to a particular risk category bring in their premium, the losses may not happen to all, but whoever is suffering the loss, insurance company has a collection, adequate collection to settle the claims of the policyholders. That's how an insurance organization functions. Insurance organizations have evolved from the ancient times. When we say evolved, we should understand what type of insurance happened in the ancient times, how did it first start, and how it has evolved over a period of time. So when we talk about insurance, the concept has been evolving based on the needs of the policyholders or the needs of the people. Like we say, insurance, the first method of transferring of distributing risk were practiced by the Chinese and the Babylonian traders in the 3rd and 2nd millennia BC. Like they used to transport their whatever cargo into different ships. So a particular trader will put his cargo into different ships, and if at all any ship got sunk, only a small part of the loss would have to be suffered by that particular trader. So this is not exactly what we call as insurance, but the basic concept of insurance is to protect the person, protect the trader against the losses that might happen by an arrangement. So this arrangement of transferring or distributing risk was first practiced by the Chinese and the Babylonian traders in the 3rd and the 2nd millennia BC respectively. Now that was a starting point, but after that the insurance concept was embraced in the form of marine insurance, because in history we see lots of travelers through the sea route. They took a lot of cargo with them for transferring from one place to another, and that gave rise to marine insurance. And this marine insurance was followed by other types of insurance such as the fire insurance, the motor insurance, and the life insurance. So when we talk about the first type of proper insurance that evolved, that is marine insurance, and it was followed by the fire, motor, and the life insurance. These insurance concepts, which originated from England, took shape in the form of insurance organizations worldwide. So England gets the credit of actually originating the insurance concept, as we have seen in the basic book on insurance, based on the Lloyd's Coffee House, where lots of traders assembled, they discussed news about the ocean and the transportation, and that information, that discussion gave rise to the first types of the marine insurance, and based on sudden outbreak of fire, the fire insurance, and so many other types of insurance evolved based on the needs and the happening of certain calamities, specifically during that time in the England. And not only the new concepts give birth to new types of insurance, new types of insurance organization also evolved. The increasing integration of global economy created new types of insurance organizations, and the foreign direct investments, for possibility of actually doing business across the borders, new flavors of insurance products give benefits of risk diversification with regard to both the business volumes and profits. First, we saw new type of products. Next, we saw new types of organizations. New types of selling models also emerged. The traditional insurance model of insurance, selling insurance products to its own sales force or through the agents and brokers, has been changed to insurance directly being sold through the online channels, through the e-commerce, through the internet, through the telesales, and various other modern forms such as the web aggregators also. So the concept of selling insurance has also changed from the traditional model to the modern or the conventional type. Now let us look more specifically about the structure of the insurance organization. Any organization should have a sound structure. Company should have the right people in the right position. So when you have right people in the right position, the organization gets strength. The such organization specifies the functions and responsibilities, and it also emphasizes the processes that needs to be followed. Every insurance organization needs a structure and design, and this structure and design should be adopted in alignment with its objective, goals, and vision. So at the top level, we have the vision, mission, and the goals. And when we talk in terms of the structure, we have the people who are actually going to perform the functions, who will be responsible to follow the processes, and that makes a complete organization structure with the mission, vision, mission, goals at the top, and the structure and the function, the responsibilities in a very nice tabulated form to bring in the clarity as to who is supposed to do what. The structure of the insurers may differ based on various parameters. Insurance organization may be different based on the coverage, based on the location, based on the form, based on the level, as well as the legal instructions. So one type of insurance model may not be applicable everywhere. The structure of the insurer will have to be changed based on the coverage, the location, the form, the level of authority, and the legal restrictions also. Now, if we want to specifically understand what are the different types of insurance organization structures, the first comes the line organization. When we talk about line organization, we have a direct vertical relationship between different levels in the firm. Exactly opposite is the divisional organized structure. Divisional organized structure will have different departments formed basis on the functions, the product, the geographic territory, the project, and even the combination approach. So these are the main two types, but we have some more types of structures like the informal and the formal. When you talk about informal organization, it's a set of evolving relationships and patterns of human interaction within an organization. It is not officially presented or documented. The one that is actually officially presented and documented will be having a formal organization. Every organization have a mix of formal and informal. You cannot be totally informal, or you cannot be totally formal. So it has to be a mix of both formal and the informal organization. Next, we have the centralized organization. This centralized organization has evolved because of technology, because of the automation, because of the computerization. The entire control is based at a central level where we can also have a data center which has the technology which connects or networks all the other arms or the branches of the organization. You have uniformity in policy. It is most economically used because of the mechanized methods, and branches are relieved of routine and focus on selling, because the more routine and repetitive works can be done by the machines, whereas the main marketing, the focus on selling can be done by the professionals, by the insurance professionals, because they have more time when they are relieved out of the routine and repetitive activities. Next, we have decentralized organization. This also have its own benefits. It provides good local service, because anything, any small change that needs to be done based on the regional office, it can be done instantly rather than relying on the central, central organization, which may have some difficulties in doing it only for some region. So decentralized organization have that advantage. It provides good local services, as regional officers can understand the prevailing conditions. Now, having understood the different types of structures, we will see the different types of organizations, insurance organizations, which evolved over a period of time. Like the first concept of insurance organization emerged with self-insurance, then partnerships, then partnership got a better type with joint stock companies. Then we also had mutual insurance organizations, corporate insurance organizations, the Lloyd's Association, the state insurance, the reciprocal inter-insurance exchange. Next, we have the captives, we have the aliens, we have the departmental insurance organizations, we have insurance corporations, and we also have government insurance companies. Let us look at each one of them so that we will be clear as to what are the different types of insurance organizations that evolved over a period of time. The first we consider is the self-insurance. What exactly is self-insurance? In a self-insurance model, a certain amount is set aside by an individual or an entity to compensate for the loss happening in the future. So an amount is set aside for covering the loss. Provision is made for the losses rather than shifting or transferring the burden of risk. This type of insurance was specifically preferred by the employers to protect their employees from the losses. They did not cover catastrophic risk, which we have when there are highly unpredictable events which causes higher losses, for example, the earthquakes. So self-insurance model had a specific purpose and good advantage for the employers to protect their employees because certain provisions were made for the losses. Next, we saw the partnership. Insurance organization existed in the form of partnership firms before the joint stock companies. Now, when we see partnership firms, it has certain advantage, it has certain drawback. The major drawback in a partnership firm is the joint and several liability, into which the closure of insurance organizations can happen along with the wiping out of the assets of the partners. So this was a main danger because the debt liability was unlimited, and hence it was replaced by joint stock companies, which had a unique advantage of limited liabilities. So joint stock companies were preferred over partnership. Joint stock companies were formed by the members with limited liability. It was owned by the shareholders. The management of the insurance business was with the board of directors. Board of directors were elected by the shareholders. And in case of participating policyholders, insurance companies share the profit amongst the policyholders in the form of a bonus to the policyholders. Most of the insurance business were done by joint stock companies before the nationalization of insurance business. So we'll have to see what happened after nationalization. We saw nationalization gave direct control to the government, and government could implement various policies for the social welfare. Thank you.